Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
Burn on, big river, burn on. Burn on, big river, burn on.
This month marks the 40th anniversary of a watershed moment in environmental history. June 22, 1969, the Cuyahoga River caught fire in Cleveland. It was hardly an isolated event. The Cuyahoga was so heavily and chronically contaminated it burned at least a dozen times. Riverboat pilot Wayne Bratton recalls seeing the river in flames in the mid-70s.
We could see that the grain elevator was going up, and there were flames there and smoke. And actually, the fire in 1969 was, nobody even went to it. I mean, the firefighters responded, and that was it.
Locals were a bit blasé about the burning river, but national media attention sparked outcry over the sad state of our rivers and lakes. That helped give rise to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and landmark laws like the Clean Water Act. Those laws and agencies are largely credited with cleaning up our rivers. But on the Cuyahoga, the actual work of cleaning was up to people like Frank Samsel. Samsel spent much of his life on the Cuyahoga aboard a boat he designed called the Putzfrau, a very special vessel that lived up to its name.
Putzfrau, it's kind of German for cleaning lady. And the function of the boat was to clean up floating debris and oil on the river. On the front of the boat is a vacuum, and that picks up small debris and oil off the surface of the water. And because oil is kind of tenacious, you know, it has a tendency to cause things to kind of glom together. Where the current slowed down in the navigable channel, it collected debris into very large mats, maybe an acre and a half or 2 acres on the surface.
Wow.
And we'd go in and we'd clean this stuff up.
What was an average day? How much junk would you pick up off the river?
In about 16 hours, we could pick up about 100 cubic yards of debris and about 15,000 gallons of oil. And you got to realize at that time, we were in a different economy. Black oil at that time, number six, was 3 cents a gallon, you know?
So if you spilled a little, it wasn't that big a deal.
Well, it's cheaper to spill it than to spend the time on labor on back flushing and cleaning. And you know, so you spilled a barrel of oil. So what? You know, you lost $2, maybe?
Right.
Big deal. You know, you put that against 5 men's labor fiddling around for 45 minutes. It's cost effective to do that. You know, that was an obvious polluter. At one time, we walked around in gasoline. We had 6-buckle boots on. We were walking in gasoline up to our ankles. And, you know, you're really concerned because one spark or something like that and you're toast.
And I'm guessing other than the oil spills and these other spills, there was also a lot of sewage contamination?
Yes. Industry got the bad name. But as Pogo says, you know, we have met the enemy and he is us.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what we found out. We found out that we're putting raw sewage into the river.
Describe for us what the Cuyahoga was like in, say, late 60s, early 70s, just to paint us a picture of that river.
Well, about this time of the year would start, the river would go completely anaerobic, no oxygen, none whatsoever, and it would start to percolate, it would bubble, the sewage, it was like a gigantic catch basin or a septic tank, and it would just collect this stuff, and it stunk to high heaven. We had a river that had a lot of floating debris on it because there was a time when that's where you threw your grass clippings. That's where all the stuff goes. You throw it in a river, it goes away, and you don't worry about it. And I'm talking about the public as well as private industry. They'd throw whatever they... And don't forget, we had a big plating industry. And the pickle tanks that they would pickle stuff in and the other tanks would have to be flushed out occasionally. You know, these 40, 50,000 gallons tanks would be dumped into the river and it would make a great huge black blob in one spot and you could see it move down the river as the current moved it down. So no matter who told you how bad it was, at that time, they weren't exaggerating. It was bad. The chemical companies would throw their stuff in there. So you might have a coat of acid on top. We had a supply business. Fellas had come down, salesmen had come down occasionally. One guy came down once and he says, "We've got this coating. It's really marvelous." And I said, "Well, let me try it out." So he had a sample on a piece of tin. And I put a piece of wire on it and I hung it in the river. And I said, "Well, you come back in 10 days and we'll see what this coating's like." He says, "This is a marvelous thing." So 10 days later, he came back. I pulled this piece of tin out of the river and I took my fingernail and I scraped the coating off the metal, you know. And I said, "Well, you need a little work on this yet, you know."
you were like the proving ground for these things.
Well, and for that particular individual, mm-hmm. Yeah. And he couldn't believe it. We had a launch that we would service the ore fleet with. And I said, "You know, see the launch? There's no paint from the water line down and there's no rust. The acid and the chemicals take the paint off and the oil coats it." I said, "We don't have rust on the outside of the boat and we don't have paint because nothing sticks to it. You could bring a saltwater vessel in there and all the barnacles would drop off because there's..."
Wow.
It did the trick.
Well, that's a pretty vivid image. I mean, the picture you're painting for me here is a bubbling, lifeless cesspool covered with chemicals and oil and debris.
That stunk.
Let's not forget stinking.
You can't emphasize that enough. I mean, it was horrible.
So that was the Cuyahoga then.
Yeah.
Now describe the Cuyahoga for me today.
It's turned around. If you know where to go in the Cuyahoga River, you've got some of the finest steelhead fishing there is. You've got some of the finest bass fishing there is. In the summer, of course, now, we have tremendous walleye fishing. People say it's the walleye capital of the world, but we've got people coming from Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan down here to fish in Lake Erie.
So back in, let's say, 1970-something, when you were working on the deck of the Putzfrau there with all of this mess around you, do you think you could have imagined a day where you'd look on that river and see people catching fish?
You could imagine it, but you wouldn't think that it would happen this quick because it was so bad that you'd say, "Well, they'll probably clean it up, but not in my lifetime." And the changes have been really tremendous. You like to brag about it, but still, we like to keep the fishing for ourselves. We don't want people coming from everywhere.
So don't tell everybody. I won't tell anybody, okay?
Okay. We'll keep it between ourselves.
Well, Frank Samsel has been talking with us about cleaning up the Cuyahoga River. And Mr. Samsel, I hope you get lots of opportunities to enjoy the fruit of your labor and get out there and do lots of fishing.
Thank you very much, and goodbye now.